Good morning, everybody. Great to see you for our monthly all-age service where we're trying to engage with the children for the whole of the time and ideal opportunity for us to have a look at the passage together across the ages over the course of the service. So this morning, the passage is going to be in our theme series at the moment in Philippians. We're moving into chapter 2. And we'll read that together fairly near the beginning of the service because that's going to shape all that we do. But before we get to that, let's come and worship the Lord. Music team, if you can get up to the front here. As you do that, I will pray. And let's just humble ourselves. We come to worship the Lord, our great God, our great Saviour. And we want Him to have the glory. For that, we need to be in the right attitude. So let's come and just ask Him to help us with that. Father God, we are here this morning together as a group of Your people in this place, this village, and from this area. And we come to worship You. We come to lift Your name on high. We come for You to speak to us. We come to reorientate our lives, refocus our lives as we go into another week. And we want to hear You speak to us. This morning, we'll do that as family, as young and old together. And so we pray that from the youngest to the oldest, we will hear You speak. We will know more about You, that You will shape our lives, whether we're young or old. And this week, as we live in our world, we might be light and salt for You. So come among us by Your Spirit, we pray, and help us to worship You in a way that honors Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great hymn, great song of praise as we start together. Water, You turned into wine. There's no one like You. Let's stand together. Let's worship the Lord.
You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against?
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Take your seats.
Okay, good morning, everybody.
See you. Good to see you. Mary Mutz will come up now. Thank you. We're going to start, don't have a nosebleed, we're going to start the service with a Bible reading. Not in our normal place, okay? And that's because we want to set the scene what this morning's all about, which is about humility, and particularly the humility of Jesus. So Mary's going to read to us from Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Mary.
Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Okay. So this morning, we are going to be thinking about being humble. Being humble. Now, particularly young ones, that may not be a regular word that comes up in your language every day. I don't think you probably use the word humble or humility very much, do you? What does it mean? What does it mean to be humble? That's a tricky question. You don't have to answer that. Don't worry. Keep listening. What does it mean to be humble? Flick onto the next slide, thank you. What it means is this: being humble is thinking less about ourselves, and it's thinking more about others. Being humble is thinking less about me and more about others. And what I want us to do now, just to help understand that, is to play a little guessing game. And I want you to guess whether you think I am being humble or not being humble, yeah? So let's have a couple of volunteers up here. Okay, Caleb, that was quick. Yep. Samuel, come on in. This is good, because this will be... We're going to play a catching game, yeah? That's very humble, Caleb, yeah. Hey, Jacob. Sorry, that was mean, wasn't it? Sam, you come stand over here. You stay there, Caleb. Okay, we're just going to throw the ball to each other, yeah? Okay, that's it. You throw it to Samuel. Yeah, we'll just keep playing this. It's great fun playing catch, isn't it, yeah? And the first one, like the Norwich goalkeeper. You lost yesterday, you can't talk. yeah, and the first one to catch it five times, you know, is going to be the best. I think we've done at least two or three. Come on, Caleb. Yeah, and it's just great playing with one another. Now I think I've caught it three times now, but I'm going to make sure that I win. So I'm going to throw it to myself and make sure that I just catch it way more than you two do, so everyone in church thinks that I'm an amazing catcher and everyone knows how brilliant I am at throwing, yeah? So do you think right now that I'm being humble, including you in the game, yeah? You enjoying this game of catch? You enjoying the game? Why not? What's wrong? Am I being humble? Why am I not being humble, Samuel? I'm saying I'm the best, yeah. Yeah, you don't think I'm the best then? Yeah, and I'm not thinking of you two, am I? I'm just playing this game by myself. I'm not thinking of others. Okay, well done. Go and sit back down. Well done. Okay, what about if when I walked into church this morning, okay, and we started this one, I walked in, this is me walking into church, and I think, where am I going to sit? I like to sit there. Can you get out, please? Come on. Come on. I always sit here. I've done it for 20 years. You can sit out. There's a chair right out the back there. Don't feel sorry for him. Okay. Right. Am I being humble? No. Am I being humble, Tilly? I am. No, I'm not, am I? I'm not thinking of other people. I'm thinking of myself. Please take your seat back, Stuart. Yeah, I'm not being humble, am I? I'm just thinking about myself. And, you know, Stuart's getting on now. He can't walk that distance, you know. It's just not very nice of me. This is easy being up here, isn't it? Yeah, cheap shots. Now, I've also got a packet of sweets here. Who likes sweets? Yeah, everyone does. Who likes fruit pastels? Yeah? Would you like some? Would you like some sweets? Yeah? Yeah? Well, I think I'm going to have one first, actually. Yeah? I'm going to just take one up for myself. What about you, Sam? Would you want one? Yeah, you can have one, mate. Go and help yourself. Actually, I'll take one first, actually. What a great children's talk this is. Upsetting everybody. Yeah? Am I being humble there? I'm not being humble, am I? Because I'm not thinking about other people. I'm thinking about myself. Now, don't worry. When we go and do some painting in a bit, you're all going to get a sweet, okay? So don't sit there feeling like you've been robbed of a sweet. So I'm not being humble. In fact, I've not been very humble this morning at all, have I? I'm thinking about myself all the time. Here's a question for you to think about. Do you think Jesus was humble? Do you think Jesus just thought about himself and no one else? So he wasn't humble? Or do you think Jesus was humble and he thought about other people and not about himself? What do you think? Have a think about that. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is a king. Now, can anyone see a picture of a king or a crown? Grab it and go and bring it to me if you can. It was a crown. Come on, Samuel. Well done. We've got a broken crown. Yeah. Well done. Okay, let's put it up here. So the Bible tells us that Jesus is a king. You can't get much higher than a king, can you? But then it also tells us that Jesus was a man. Now, can we see a picture of a person up anywhere? Go on, Tilly, if you can see it, or Caleb. Caleb's got it. And I stuck it a bit hard because I did it on Friday, so I didn't want it to fall off. Well done, Caleb. That's it. Run as quick as you can. Yeah, there's a man. So, this is interesting. So, Jesus is a king, but we read that he became a man. Okay. And then we read, the Bible tells us also that Jesus is really powerful. If you were to read Colossians in the New Testament, it says that Jesus was before everything, the first. He was really powerful. Can you see any picture that might remind you of power? If you can see it, go and get it. Can you see a picture? Can you see one? If you see it, grab it. Hey, Arthur, you got your own sweets. Well done, Arthur. Okay, you can go and sit back down. Well done, mate. Okay, so Jesus, we read, is very powerful. But we also read that Jesus became a servant. He came to help people. Oh, can we see a picture on the wall? Tilly, listen to Reuben. Can we see a picture of the wall that reminds us of helping? Okay, Raph. That wasn't very humble, was it, Raph? Come on, Tilly. Let's put another pin on the board. Well done. Okay. Okay. We also know that Jesus lives forever with God in heaven. Can we see anything about heaven? Yes, Samuel. Oh, yeah, I've pulled the notice board out, so you didn't see it. Well done, Samuel. But even though he lives in heaven, that's his home, the Bible tells us that he gave up heaven to come to earth. Oh, it's a fight between Caleb and John. Next time, John. Come on, Caleb. It doesn't matter if you just pull it off. Well done. Good job. You're getting fit this morning, aren't you? So we're thinking about, is Jesus humble? But look at all these pictures. Look at what they tell us. Jesus is a king, but he became a man. King of the universe became a man. Jesus is very powerful, but actually he came just to serve other people, to help other people. He came from heaven, what a wonderful place heaven is, to earth. Do you think Jesus is humble? Yeah? I think Jesus is humble. I think he's very humble, don't you? And he was humble because he was doing all these things for other people. He was thinking of other people's needs. But why was he so humble? Why was he thinking of other people's needs? Look at this verse. I reckon you might have heard this verse before on the next slide. This is why Jesus was thinking of other people. Because of John chapter 3, verse 16, we read, For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. That's Jesus. God gave his Son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. Now that's amazing, isn't it? But here's something else I want you to think about this morning, for us all to think about, is we can be humble as well. We can be humble towards God. How can we be humble towards God? We are humble to God when we follow God's plans and not our own. We are humble towards God when we agree that God's plans and ideas are best and not our own plans and ideas. We are humble towards God when we realize that we need Jesus. We need Jesus to forgive us our sins that we have done against God. So the question for all of us this morning is this. Are we humble enough to know that we need Jesus more than anything else or anyone else? Are we humble enough to admit that God's plans, God's ideas are so much better than our plans and our ideas? Now, look at this next verse from the chapter that Mary read. We'll have a little competition now, okay? Let me read this out. Listen carefully to this verse. It's talking about Jesus, and when he was living as a man, so he was living as a man, not a king, living on earth, not in heaven. When he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even to death on a cross. Now, who thinks they can remember that verse? Let's have two people up. Tilly and Samuel. Yeah, you come up. Let's have another two people. Caleb. Who else? Who else? Maybe Raffi, you come and help Caleb then. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Do you wish you'd not come up now, Caleb?
No.
Okay. Now, it's okay. You can look at the memory verse, and I want to see if you can put it all together using your bits of paper, okay? And I might give an extra sweet to whoever does it first. Now, you can use some pins. There we are, Caleb. Yeah. That's it. Quickly, they got their first one up already. Well done. That's it. Good. Next one. Do you need any more pins? You're right, Caleb. You're right, Tilly. Do you want some help? Yeah. You find the next bit. Oh, it is quite hard, isn't it? That's it. Put it under here. That's it. You're doing well. Yeah, use that one. There we are. Ooh, how are you getting on? It's close.
I need one more.
Oh, you need another one. That's not fair, is it, LRF? There's another one. Yes, you won. Yes. Okay, well done, everybody. Now, are you good enough readers to read that out loud?
Oh, okay.
Okay, both of you say it into the mic then. Go on then.
And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even to the death of God. Philippians. What does the CH mean?
Philippians chapter 2.
Philippians chapter 2,
verse 8. Well done. Okay, and can you read yours out? Go on, go for it.
And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself
and was fully obedient to God, even to death on a cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8.
Well done. Give him a round of applause, everybody. Now I've lost my Bible. Brilliant. So Jesus is so humble, isn't he? Humble enough to leave heaven, become a man, and die on a cross for our sins and rise again. Are we humble enough this morning to know that we need God above anything else? And are we going to be humble and realise how loving God is, that we're going to put other people's needs ahead of ourselves as well? That means being kind, sharing, and not being selfish. Okay, let's say a little prayer together, shall we? Father, it's a really difficult thing to be humble. And it's a difficult thing to admit sometimes that we need help. And it's a difficult thing to put other people's needs ahead of our own sometimes. And so, Lord, we ask by your Spirit, you will help us to do that, Lord, this morning. You would help us to see that we need Jesus as our Saviour and as our friend, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that your love will be at work so powerfully and so wonderfully in our hearts that we will love to put other people's needs above our own, just like Jesus did for us. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. Right, well done, everybody. Music team, come up. We're going to sing another song together. And this song is really giving praise to God for what he's done through Jesus. So I think that's a good one to sing. So we'll do that together now. Thank you.
You're in my heart. I'm so glad you came.
from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross.
And as part of being humble and recognizing our need of God to help us, one of the ways which we do that is by praying to him. And praying is saying, God, we need your help. There are things we can't do. So just before the children go out for a craft time, a painting this morning, we're going to do our prayer time together. We're going to try and do this so it engages everybody. I've got some people here who have set up to do some drawings. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to come out around you, and I would like to get ideas, some things that are on your hearts, grown-ups. This is not just a children's part, okay? Things that are in our hearts that we need God's help with. In our world, people maybe that you know that we can pray for. And I've got a few people who are going to do a drawing that's going to remind us of those things. And they'll be on the board here. Who's going to go first? Sarah, I said that I would give you maximum time to do your drawing. So, over this side, with just some things or a thing that you would like us as a group this morning to pray for. And Sarah's going to represent this in a stick drawing or some kind of drawing for us. So just something that's on our hearts, things which we really know that we would like God to help us with. Maybe one thing. Or it could be a person, it could be a friend or a situation. Don't be shy. Come on, grown-ups, adults. Adrian.
The threat to the world from authoritarian states, particularly Russia and China.
Could you hear that? So the threat to the world of authoritarian states, so bullies in the world. So I think something at the moment, what we're seeing most of all is the threat of Russia bullying their way through. So something to do with Russia, all right? You've got a minute to do that. Right. Who are we going to take next? I'm going to take Diane. She's going to be drawing the next one. Something else that in our prayers to pray for this morning. Mark, thank you. So somebody who's ill, that's what you need to put onto your piece of paper, Diane. All right? So I need you to do that like now. No pressure. That could be a hospital. It could be something that reminds us of that. Something else, maybe towards the back, over here. Okay, we're going to take Emil.
The government with the whole cost of living crisis and management of that for people in the UK.
Yeah, all right. So the government, cost of living, crisis, finances and all of that kind of thing. I love to see how people represent these things on paper. Part of the doing it in drawing is to help those who can't read, but also some of us are visual thinkers, so it's that kind of thing. Right, so Paul is doing our last one. So who we got on the last one? Wayne.
Mental health.
I think that's a really important one. It's easy to overlook that. And you will have your own thing. So Paul is going to do mental health. There's some challenges there. And you've got about a minute to do that. And then we're going to pray. We're going to bring these things to the Lord this morning. And you'll have your own things as well in your heart, which you can just pray for quietly in our time of prayer. So who have we got? Who's finished? Anybody finished their drawing yet? Who started off first? It was Sarah. How are you getting on, Sarah?
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. Okay. Can I take it from you?
Yeah, sorry.
No. It's not about being good. It's about helping us to remember. Right. So this one on here. Remember, this was Russia, so we got some tanks, we got some people that are looking very sad, and we got somebody over here who's laying down, and they've probably been shot. So it just helps us. Do you remember that one? Paul is done. Diane, you done? Paul? A sad face. Diane, what do you got? And this one, you've got the question mark coming around the head. This man is a man in bed, and he's even got a drip. I said, don't worry about the details. So we're down on detail. Who haven't I done? Tabitha? Brilliant. COVID, look at that. Fantastic. And Jazz, what have you done for us? Cost of living. So we've got a graph going upwards for cost of living going up. Children, it's for people who haven't got money. It's getting hard. There's not as much money for your mums and dads to buy things with. And if they've got a house and maybe they've got a thing called a mortgage to help them buy it, it's more expensive. So they might not have as much money to do the fun things with. So, and pound coins and the COVID one. Right. So with those things there, let's come. And pray. Thank you for taking part and helping us with that. It's just a reminder of things. So let's just be really still. And we're going to pray together. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we're here and you're interested in us. And part of our humility is our expression that we do need your help. We can't manage. And these things show to us that we can't manage and we need your help. You're strong and we're weak. And so this morning, we want to pray for Ukraine, for the people over there who are getting bombed, who've lost their homes, but more importantly, those where they've had friends who've been killed, mums and dads who've had children killed, children who've had their mums and dads killed. And so we pray for that nation, for the many people without homes and work. And we pray that soon you'll bring peace to that country. And Father, we think of those as well and pray this morning for people who struggle with when their mind doesn't work as they want it to. We often call it mental health. People who have extreme worries and anxieties. Could be children at school. Could be children with mums or dads or aunties or uncles or grandmas and granddads. We pray for those people and ask that you'll give them your peace and help those who try to help them as well. And Lord, we pray for those who are worried about the way things are costing so much more at the moment. We pray for our government. We pray for the people who understand these things, that they'll make good decisions and good choices. We pray for our Prime Minister. We pray for the new Chancellor and for all of the politicians and all of the people in industry who are making big decisions. Help us not to think that our happiness will come from money, but help us to remember true happiness is found in you. So we pray for these things, Father, and would you just hear, just as we spend a few moments quietly now, Father, would you hear the quiet, private prayers in our hearts from the children and from the adults? So just a few moments, bring your own private prayers to Jesus. And we ask all these prayers this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those who helped. Thank you, children, and thank you, grown-ups, for joining in with that one. Right. Music team, we're going to sing, and then we're going to have a look. Children are going to do craft. So primary school age children do craft. And I'm going to dip a little bit deeper into this passage this morning with us adults for a few moments, all right? So the song we're going to sing really reflects Jesus that we're thinking about. It's called The Servant King. From heaven you came, helpless babe.
Your glory, where not here.
Lovely. Please take your seats. And if you have a Bible on a device or a paper version, it'd be great if you had them open at the passage this morning. We're going to just focus in on verses 6 to 11, which talk to us about Jesus. And you know, don't you, that Christians are followers of Christ. The clue is in the name. Christians, if you break it down, it's Christ, Christians. We're followers of Christ, and we've been singing, we've been thinking about Christ this morning. We are not Christians. Let us remember, we're not Christians because we've been initiated into the church in some way, either as a by a rite as an infant or as an adult with some water or a handshake or anything like that. A true Christian is a follower of Jesus. And that means that we believe in him as a historic person, but it means so much more than that. A true Christian is someone who trusts him, relies on him to deal with their sin that has cut us off from God. And someone who then, as a result of what he has done in forgiving us and bringing us back into friendship with God, models their life on him. You know, we don't get right with God by modeling our life on him. We model our life on him because we are right with him. Really, really important distinctive. So we're people who try to imitate him, where Jesus is our teacher, he's our leader. He is, if we want to use the Jewish term, he's our rabbi. And these verses here, from 6 through to 11, are absolutely stunning in what they teach us about Jesus. I've got a very simple outline because you know I'm a very simple person, but I hope that it will help us follow these things through. We're in our series called A Colony of Heaven on Earth. We call it Citizens. We are citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven. We're looking in Philippians. So the first thing this morning that we have here about Jesus is that he is the greatest person. The greatest person. It says in verse 6, who it describes him as being in very nature God. He is unlike any other person that has ever walked on planet Earth. Jesus was and is God. He revealed that in his life, the way he lived. It is recorded for us in the Bible. And they show to us and they tell us that he is God himself, eternally existing with the Father, God in heaven, for all time before coming to earth living as a human, who being in very nature God. That tells us that Jesus didn't come into existence when he was born. The uniqueness, the supremacy of Jesus Christ, one of those things is that he was around before time, before creation, who being in very nature, being, he was. And what was he in that time before he came to earth? In very nature, God. I pause to let that little statement dwell, linger. Very nature, God. We do not follow a man of good ideas. We do not follow a man of good example, though he was. The man we follow is God himself. Really important fact and truth that the Christian faith has. That Jesus is unique. That he is not just another teacher. He's not just another leader. He wasn't just a doer of good works. He is God the Son. God on earth. Or as we will think in a few weeks' time, Emmanuel. God with us. Is there evidence to back that assertion up? Well, there's plenty. As Paul said, Peter said when he was preaching once, he said that Jesus was a man accredited by God by the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he did on earth. Those were his calling card. Those were the things that demonstrated who he was. The way he controlled nature, the way that he could speak to the wind and the waves and control them and they would obey him, the way that he would speak to disease and illness would leave, the way that he would speak to evil spirits and they would obey his commands, the way he spoke to the dead. The little boy in the casket, in the coffin, being taken to the tomb. And he stops the cortege and he lays his hand and he speaks to the boy and the little boy comes back to life. The little girl who's dead and she's laying upstairs in the bedroom, barely cold, but when Jesus arrives, everybody knows that she's dead and he speaks to her, Tabitha, arise. Little girl, get up. And the little girl rises. The older guy called Lazarus, who's in the tomb, he's been there 4 days, they've had the funeral. And Jesus says, take the stone away. He said, you're mad. The guy's decomposing, he's going to stink. He says, take the stone away. And he speaks to him, Lazarus, come out. And this man comes out. Who could do that but God? That is not the actions of a man. And if you're here this morning, and I'm so glad that you are, but you're not committed to Jesus. You really do need to wrestle with these things. You need to be thinking then how and who, and before you just dismiss, before you put it apart and say, I'll do it another day, or I'm not going to believe. You've got to take into account. You need to think and rationalize through and have a good reason for not believing him, because it's here and some of these things are so well attested. So the first thing about Jesus here is he's the greatest person who being very nature man, and yet we have also here the greatest condescension, who being very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Incredible couple of sentences. This God man, this God became a man, became in human likeness, in appearance. In no way is that intended to say that he wasn't really a man. He really was. It means that he became flesh and blood. He became one of us as he was born as a little baby and grew to be a man, fully human, yet always remaining fully God. I'll throw away something for those of you who like to take these things further. Go and have a look at the hypostatic union, combination of God and man in perfect harmony. This is the eternal God, the creator, the supreme being, coming and living as really as you are, with flesh and blood, experiencing tiredness and pain. Do you know Jesus probably had headaches? Do you know he probably got to the end of the day and it's like, whew. He became a man. We can understand it maybe if he became a leader, but he became a servant. That's what it says. He became, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became a servant, not a grandiose role, but lived as the village chippy, taking orders from people, saying, Jesus, could you knock me up a table and chairs? Jesus, my door is not fitting very well. Jesus, I need a new window frame. And he's in his workshop, tapping away, knocking away, sawing away, chiseling away, serving other people. And then age 30, going out helping people, teaching them, standing up for the marginalized, for the weak, the dispossessed, protecting the women, helping the weary, relieving the burdened, taking their cause. And increasingly through his life, taking the brickbats for standing up for those that society wasn't. And ultimately, though, he was the servant of his Father in heaven. Over and over and over, he goes out and he prays by himself. So he knows what to do. And he makes statements like, Father, I haven't come to do my will. I've come to do your will. Father, I've come to rescue those that you gave me. The greatest condescension, the greatest service is the third thing. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Mark that in verse 8. Became obedient to death, even death on the cross. That is the greatest service. What's that about? Why? Obedient to death. He was serving his Father. He was doing something that God the Father wanted him to do. What was it? God wanted to secure his original plan when he made planet Earth. He made it for good, and he made people to be the pinnacle of that, so that we would rule with him, that we would reign with him, that we would enjoy his company, that we could be co-workers with God. He made us to look after this planet, to work it, to understand it, to master creation. And that probably involves space as well. That was what he called us to do it with him. But our first forefathers, Adam and Eve, thought they knew better. And before we say, well, it's their fault, we all have done exactly the same thing. We think, I can do it better than him. I know better than him. I can do it my way. And so this world and creation became messed up by our foolish rebellion and rejection. And it separated us from him. But God didn't want it that way. That wasn't his plan, and so he sent Jesus. And to bring God and us back together, that sin, that rebellion, that offense that we'd caused them, there was a price to pay for that, because God is just, he can't just overlook it. And so Jesus died on the cross. The way that God dealt with it was through blood being shed, a life being taken. And ultimately, it had to be the life of Jesus. And so God sent Jesus to die on the cross. Remember the verse that Paul put up, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish. That's why Jesus came. God sent him. God sent the Son, Jesus, because he loves us. And part of that was that Jesus had to die on the cross, paying the penalty for our offenses and opening the way for reconciliation again. The greatest service that a man can ever do for us is that he would die for us, taking the wrath and the blame and the Father instead of us. He did it even though we weren't aware that we needed it at the time. Christ died for us, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners. But he did it. Isn't that wonderful? Before you ever thought that you needed forgiveness, before you ever realized it, God loved you and he sent Jesus to die for you, so that when you were born and you got to the age, for me it was 14, or for you, whatever age it was, some of you were 30-something, some were 40, whatever, that was ready for you. That Jesus had gone before you. What wonderful love. What a wonderful service that is, so that we then can know eternal life and be sure and confident of it in a world that's pretty rubbish, isn't it? So very often. The pain that you go through, the mental anguish that some of you have, the physical suffering, the anxiety and the worry and the relational messes and the anxiety about money. And you know, it would be lovely if we could say, it's going to stop and Jesus would make all of that better in life. But the truth is, it doesn't always change. But what we do have is a wonderful hope for all eternity in heaven. We know that when we leave this life, we are going to go to be with him. Not for a little while, and we will be healed. Those of you who struggle with mental health, that's going to be gone. It's going to be done away with. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the worry, the pain that some of you bear with from losing children and loved ones, that pain will be taken away. The regrets that some of us live with over things that we've done, and we, despite the wonderful grace of Jesus, and we know we're forgiven, we struggle to forgive ourselves. Those regrets are going to be taken away, and we're going to know unadulterated, undiluted bliss and happiness and thrill forever. And that's because Jesus came to serve the Father and to serve you. I've got two more things. I've got to say them quickly. But because Jesus did that, therefore, it says in verse 9, therefore, because he was obedient to death on the cross, therefore, because of that, for this reason, God exalted him to the highest place. God exalted him to the highest place because he'd pleased God, because he'd done what God most wanted, which was to have people to share in his eternity with him. Because Jesus had done that, he'd achieved it. The will of God, the delight of God, the love of God had been fulfilled. He would have a people after all. God exalted him. This is our Jesus that we worship. He's lifted up. It's always the way of with the humble. God says he lifts the humble up. Humble yourselves that he may exalt you in due time. That's exactly what he did with Jesus. The greatest elevation, the greatest lifting up. Today we have a man, a Savior in heaven at the right hand of the Father, living there to speak on our behalf. You're a Christian? At the right hand of the Almighty, Holy, Awesome God is your brother, your friend, who is there to speak on your behalf, your attorney, if you like, your lawyer, your solicitor, so that when you mess up, when I mess up, he's there and he speaks on our behalf. And it's like he says, Father, remember my blood that was covered her sins. Jesus is there in heaven. And one day, this Jesus is coming back. And so the last thing here is the greatest reckoning. You see, that Jesus is coming back. And it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This Jesus is coming back to earth, and at that point, everything will be put right. That's the putting right time, but it says that every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, and every tongue will acknowledge this Jesus. Speaking about a day of reckoning, when we're all going to stand before him. If you're a believer, if you've come to faith in Jesus, I've got some good news for you. You haven't got to worry about that day because he's going to be your Savior. He's going to be there to make sure that you get into heaven. That's why he's going to come. And he's going to be saying, well done, come on. Come and enjoy. But if he's not your Savior, I've got to tell you this morning that he'll be your judge. It won't be me. It won't be anybody else. It will be Jesus who knows all things. The Jesus who today is speaking to you. The Jesus who today wants you to come. The Jesus who says, look, I came and I died for you. I came to deal with those sins, but you rejected me. And on that day, he'll say, if you rejected me in life, then you can't come and have part of heaven. But the tragedy will be that you, at that day, you will know that he's right. I'm not asking you this morning whether you've been baptized. I'm not asking you this morning whether you're a member of this church or another church. I'm not asking you whether you like to think yourself as a Christian because you've got Christian morals and you would say, yeah, well, I take my lead from Jesus. I want to ask you lovingly but directly, have you actually Do you really trust Jesus as your Savior and your Lord to forgive your sins? Because without that, all of the other stuff will just be rubbish. It won't do it. This is our Jesus, the greatest person, who had the greatest condescension, with the greatest service, who had the greatest elevation, and who brings in the greatest reckoning. On that day, every knee will bow. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you've got every reason to be really, really happy and really, really grateful to Jesus. I'm not asking you whether you're a good person, because most of us would say, no, actually, we feel pretty rotten and we're pretty rubbish and we let him down altogether. But we've got a Jesus, a Savior who's living for us. Amen? Hey, praise God. I knew I'd get one from you one day. But do we all know that? My longing would be that you'll open your heart to Jesus and you'll receive all that he has for you, all that he came to bring to you, that you too will have not just his joy in life, but you'll have the joy of heaven to look forward to. The children have finished their painting and they're looking at me thinking, how long is he going to go on for? We're over time. We need to sing our last song. Great song. Music team, come and join us. Children, come back in. We're done. They have been painting lighthouses, which will remind them of the lighthouse every Sunday. The song we're going to sing, it just kind of encapsulates so much about Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. What a wonderful name it is. Let's stand and sing, and the children will come back and join us, and we'll say a prayer as we finish.
Great, your love was great.
Let's just let that sink in to us as we conclude our time this morning. The beautiful name, the powerful name, the wonderful name of Jesus, our leader, our savior, our rescuer, our great example. Oh, Lord Jesus, if you would leave the glory of heaven and become one of us and humble yourself, even to the point of the cross, would you help us to have that same mind as well? That we would think of others more highly than ourselves, that we would be prepared to take the lowest place of all, to serve you and to serve each other. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to the cross. Father, thank you that you elevated him to heaven and he's there for us now. Our Savior, our High Priest, our lawyer, our defender. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming again, and on that day you'll take us to be with you. Oh, grant that everyone, every single person in this room, this building today, might have that same faith, that same trust, that same hope. Hear us, because we want you to have the praise. We want you to have the glory. We want you to be seen as worthy in our lives and through the witness of our church here. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you today and always. Amen.